Hello and welcome to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, and today's show is going to be weird because I'm not really sure that the game the Chiefs are playing in is the most important game this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because, as we know, the 2 seed right now, because of the losses to the Texans, the loss to the Titans, the loss to the Buccaneers, because of those losses, the Chiefs now are putting their future in the hands of the Denver Broncos. So we're going to take some time to look at Chiefs-Chargers. Then we're also going to pivot over and see what the latest news is out of Denver, out of Oakland, to see what that game's going to look like. Remember, the Raiders are going with Matt McGloin from here on out, and the Chiefs need the Broncos to beat the Raiders to get to the 2 seed. And there's been some differing opinions on this, but I could not say enough how important I think it is the Chiefs end up getting the 2 seed. The Raiders-Broncos game, and to a lesser extent, the Chiefs-Chargers game, is exactly as important as the Chiefs' goals, or as your expectations for the Chiefs. These games, this whole Week 17, isn't that big of a deal to you if you expect the Chiefs to win one playoff game, maybe two. Because I think the Chiefs would go on the road and win in Houston in the first week if that's the matchup they ended up having. And a lot of this is going to be speculation because keep in mind, the top seed plays the lowest seed every week, and you know the nearest to the middle seeds play each other, similar to the NCAA tournament bracket. Except for this time it's reseeded as you go along. The Chiefs could win on the road in Houston. Maybe if they caught a break somehow and ended up going to Oakland in week two of the playoffs, maybe then they would have a chance to win two road playoff games before, say, going to New England. And you might say, well, if they do get lucky, go to Houston and win, go to Oakland and win, two games which they would be favored, I believe. Well, then what's the difference between just skipping ahead to having some team at home after the bye week and then going to New England? No matter how you slice it, this ends in New England, or it ends in an upset in New England. And I just don't think that's the case here. Especially as we look at Justin Houston right now. Justin Houston's probably going to miss this Chargers game. His knee swelling has been up and down. Not only would it be great to give him another full week of rest before hitting playoff football, I would hate to see the Chiefs go into Houston in a playoff game, a absolute must-win game, obviously. I would hate to see them go to a must-win game without Justin Houston. Maybe with a more banged-up secondary, a more banged-up backfield. Spencer Ware's back in practice on a limited basis, but his ribs are hurt. Rib injuries are hard. Everybody on this team, everybody in the NFL could use another bye week right now. And for the Chiefs to be one of the two teams in the AFC to get that week off would be a tangible advantage. Plus, you're completely eliminating any possibility of losing in an upset anywhere in that first week. There's going to be one of those upsets, either in the AFC or the NFC. One of the 5 seeds is going to go, they're going to be favored on the road against, one of the wildcard teams will be favored on the road against a subpar division winner. And a team like the Texans is going to win a game that they had no business winning, or that no one expected them to win. Or the Raiders will be, as the 2 seed with the bye week, will be able to squeak past a team that, again, was favored over them in the second week. I cannot stress enough how wholeheartedly I believe the Chiefs need to get this 2 seed. The problem now is that they don't really have a choice in how it plays out. You have to beat the Chargers on the road, obviously. The Chargers are 5-10 and just lost to the Browns, so I'm definitely more passive about this game than I would have been earlier on in the season. And maybe that's dangerous. Maybe I'm undervaluing the Chargers because I still think they have a lot of talent. But they have also a lot of problems. Melvin Gordon's missed a couple of weeks, and he is listed as questionable right now. He may be returning. And they have several offensive linemen listed as questionable, including linebacker Denzel Perryman on the defensive side. They're a banged-up team, just as the Chiefs are. And everybody in football is here. That's just simply the state of the league right now. Another reason the bye week would be great. The Chiefs are almost certainly not going to have Justin Houston, who is, I guess, technically, according to ESPN.com, listed as questionable right now. but gains in Houston are always question marks. Ware was limited in practice. There are ways for this to go poorly. Also, by the way, on ESPN.com, they have the Chargers as a 54% likely winner, but the Chiefs is a 6-point favorite. Don't read too much into that. I think the Chiefs being almost a touchdown favorite on the road is about right. And it's even hard to break down this game because, first of all, we know the Chargers pretty well, but we don't really know these Chargers very well. These are pack-it-in Chargers. These are the Chargers playing their last game in San Diego, in all likelihood. We don't even know who's going to be running the ball. We barely know who's going to be catching the ball. I can sum up this game pretty easily, even if Justin Houston does not play. If Dee Ford lines up against their right tackle and gets pressure, if the Chiefs can run the ball with any effectiveness, and if they run the offense through Travis Kelce again, the Chiefs are going to win this game by two touchdowns. I mean, there's not a way for the Chiefs to lose this game if they pressure Rivers and run the offense through Kelce again. Get Tyreek Hill's touches. I mean, three or four things you can put on this checklist, and everything else is going to fall into place. No, they might not do that. One thing I want to see from this game that we haven't seen in a long time, still amazingly, is I want to see the Chiefs play four quarters that look the same and win. I hope they have a hot start again. I hope they score 14 points in the first quarter. But then I want to see a touchdown in every quarter. You're playing a 5-10 team that just lost to the Browns. Maybe they're out here playing for pride, but you should stomp on that. If you're the Chiefs, you're a team that, at this point, you have to believe that you belong in this conversation. Flawed as they may be, and for all of the reasons that I have some pessimistic tendencies about the ceiling for this Chiefs team, this is a Chargers team that you don't have to play perfect football against to have four good quarters. If the Chiefs want to win in New England, or if they want to win at home against the Steelers, or on the road in Oakland in the playoffs, you've got to play close to a perfect game. Maybe not as much with Oakland anymore, without Derek Carr. But if you want to be a top-tier team, you've got to play your best football. You have to win the turnover battle. You have to pressure the quarterback. You have to stop the run, succeed in the run, run the offense through your best players, being Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Alex Smith has to play borderline flawless game manager football. And if you do all of those things, you might be at a team like the Patriots or the Steelers. Maybe. It's possible. The Chargers aren't really like that. This version of the Chargers team, as banged up as it is, and the return of Melvin Gordon would make this a little bit more difficult for the Chiefs. Joey Bosa can wreak a little bit of havoc, but he's not Khalil Mack or Von Miller. And the Chiefs have handled them just fine. The Chiefs are 5-0 in the AFC West right now. They can sweep the AFC West in this game. You control the biggest threats on either side. Phillip Rivers, he's thrown 31 touchdowns this year, which is relatively incredible. Alex Smith, comparatively, has thrown 13. Alex Smith has also thrown 7 picks. Phillip Rivers has thrown 19. But Phillip Rivers is doing it with a really banged-up supporting cast. And I'm not, for whatever, if this might be absurd, I'm so used to seeing Phillip Rivers be down by, like, 4 points with a minute left and no timeouts and get into field goal range but not score the touchdown, and then the Chargers lose by 3 or 4. That's just kind of how Chargers games seem to end. And it would be fitting for the last game in San Diego to end that way. I'm not terribly concerned about this game because the Chiefs just have to do it. They just must. You cannot go into the playoffs, especially if they have to play next week, which looks completely plausible. I would say right now they are a slight underdog to be the 2 seed. There's a 40% chance the Chiefs are the 2 seed. Maybe 35, I don't know. If you got to turn around and play next week, you cannot lose to the team that lost to the Browns before going on the road to try to beat the Texans. I mean, ugh. Can you imagine how miserable that would be? or God forbid, the Steelers. I mean, at that point, it looks like I guess as long as the Chiefs outpace the Dolphins, that the Chiefs would avoid going to Pittsburgh in round one. And if the Dolphins have to go to Pittsburgh, God bless them. That's going to be a disaster. But over on Arrowhead Pride, a fan put together a post saying if the Patriots lose to the Dolphins this week, then if Oakland wins, Oakland becomes the one seed, and the Chiefs would then go to Houston, and Pittsburgh would host Miami, and the divisional round would then likely set up Pittsburgh at New England and Kansas City at Oakland. That would be amazing. Either we would love for the Raiders to be the one seed or the five seed to get the Chiefs at the two seed, which would be great. Or to get it set up to where the Chiefs have to play Tom Savage and Matt McGloin to get to going to New England. But if the Dolphins don't beat the Patriots, it would probably be the Chiefs going to Houston and then straight to New England, which would be miserable. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Chiefs season end the same place it ended last year by the same path that it ended last year. This has been a bizarre season. It's been a mostly very good season. It's been a season with inexplicable losses and inexplicable wins. And I don't want it to end the same way it ended last year, winning on the road in Houston and then losing in New England. The problem here isn't really about the Chiefs and Chargers game. It's about the Raiders and Broncos. So, in this sort of informal preview, I'll say the Chiefs' offense does enough. The defense holds up. The Chargers make it a little bit closer than it actually is late, giving the Chiefs a little bit of a scare. So the Chiefs hold up 24-17, win this by a touchdown, and then just start looking over their shoulder to see what happens in the other side of the AFC West as both of these games kick off around 3:30 Central Time. If you haven't heard by now, this show couldn't happen without the magic of Patreon.com. At Patreon.com/RTK, magical people get to do a magical thing, which is to give a little bit of money on a monthly basis to help keep this show rolling. The $20 group, people giving $20 a month, Ty Declare at TyDeclare44, Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88, and Andy Simpson. $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C. Roadlander and Todd Sullivan at Tito Sullivino. The $5 group is Josh Beadle, Ben Rahman, and Jason Essler. If you want to get on this show, get the shout out, maybe get your Twitter promoted in the $10 or $20 groups, you can go to patreon.com/RTK and sign up to give a little bit of money on a monthly basis. If you want to help support the show in other ways, make sure you subscribe to the show in other places. If you're listening to the show on Arrowhead Addict, that's great. And the comment section there is a great place for conversation. But sometimes the shows there get posted a little bit later, often a couple days later than the show gets put up. So subscribe to the show on iTunes or any Android podcast app you may have. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find Roughing the Kicker there. And if you don't, let me know and I'll find a way to get it there. You can also listen to the show on Blog Talk Radio. If you search Blog Talk Radio, Roughing the Kicker, just Google that. You'll find the homepage for it. You can follow the show there and listen to the show that way as well. If you have any other way that you usually listen to podcasts and you can't find this show there, let me know on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I'll figure out how to get that set up because this show should be on as many platforms as possible. It's not me being egotistical. It's me being desperate. Now let's talk about the other half of the AFC West. According to ESPN's odds and Pick Center, whatever, they have the Broncos as a 2-point favorite and as a slight favorite, and their percentage is actually a 62% to 38% favorite. I think that's gotten too high, especially with some of the later developments. DeMarcus Ware was put on injured reserve recently, just a couple days ago, and reports have come out that Trevor Siemian is going to get the start in this game, and then Paxton Lynch is also going to get some work. I really have no idea how that's going to play out, because if Trevor Siemian comes out and is playing great football, which, while however unlikely, is technically a possibility, if he comes out and is just zipping it around, and the Broncos are winning that game, why would you take him out. I guess because you want to see Paxton Lynch, but whether you'd be willing to do that in a game where Simeon was playing well, I don't know. It would make a lot of sense if this is sort of a before-the-fact face-saving sort of mechanism for the Broncos. Say, well, if Simeon plays poorly, we're going to yank him and get Lynch in there. And that's fine. That would make sense. But that would also indicate to me that it's basically just saying, if Simeon plays poorly, we're going to get Paxton Lynch some reps. So I don't really know what to expect here. Matt McGloin, as a starter, has really struggled in the NFL. And I'm looking around now at these two teams saying, well, I would have thought Denver would have won this game if you would have taken the two teams that I saw a few weeks ago, subtract Derek Carr and put them in Denver. I'd say, sure, the Broncos take this one. But the Broncos have really struggled the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, they scored 3 points against the Broncos, and they got embarrassed on Christmas night by the Chiefs in a fashion that I am completely okay with. The week before those two games, they lost to the Titans in Tennessee 13-10. Then before that was the loss or the win at Jacksonville, and then before that the loss to the Chiefs. They've been very up and down all season, which makes sense because they're an average team. They're an 8-7 team right now, so they're going to finish 8-8 or 9-7. They started out really well with 4 straight victories, but since then it's been a roller coaster. So that's not particularly surprising, but last time they played the Raiders, they lost by 10 in Oakland, and these teams are totally different now. I don't know how far back we can look. I think you look back at these last few weeks, I think that's the best way in the NFL, is look, you know, what is a team capable of? You can look back to the beginning of the season if you want. But if you're trying to say, what is this exact team trending towards? You look at the last 4 games, and they scored 20 at Jacksonville, then 10 at Tennessee, 3 versus the Patriots, and 10 at the Chiefs. I don't know how this team's going to score points. I just don't know where those points are going to come from. Maybe if TJ Ward returns, which I don't think there's any news about yet. In fact, I'll look that up as I talk here. Maybe they are able to string together some defensive playmaking abilities where they're able to do the Chiefs thing of scoring on defense. But I see here now, I see yesterday's full injury report from the Broncos. And again, DeMarcus Ware now out for the season. TJ Ward with the concussion did not participate, nor did outside linebacker Shaq Barrett with an ankle injury, nor did defensive end Derek Wolfe with a neck injury, nor did tight end Virgil Green. He was limited in practice with the concussion. Linebacker Brandon Marshall was limited with a hamstring injury. They're so beaten down. I mean, obviously, so are the Raiders, because Carr's done. Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree were both limited in practice, as was Andre Holmes. Those are probably their three top receivers there. None of them were full in practice yesterday, but those are usually kind of preparatory measures where they, you know, just give them a day off. Carl Joseph, the safety, also did not participate for the Raiders, nor did guard/tackle Kelechi Osemele, who has the most fun name on either of these two teams. Both of these teams are so beaten up, and I'm recording this show on Thursday morning, so I'm having a hard time accurately projecting what these teams are going to look like, so I'll just sort of give maybe some different ways to look at it. If TJ Ward and Brandon Marshall play, then the advantage in the matchup between the Raiders offense and the Broncos defense is in the favor of the Broncos defense. It will get even more egregious if Ward and Brandon Marshall show up. But last week, Matt McGloin needed to make one throw to ice the game. When he did, he threw it to Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper pulled it in, and that's all that the Raiders needed from Matt McGloin. Well, they're going to need a whole game of that now. They're going to need a whole game where Latavius Murray cannot carry that entire offense, and the Broncos will do fine at stopping Latavius Murray. Where does that leave Matt McGloin? Well, it leaves him with Amari Cooper, and there are worse places to be left. But so it's Matt McGloin, it's Amari Cooper, maybe if Michael Crabtree is healthy, maybe he's back in the mix. Well, the Broncos' biggest strength is on those edges. If Chris Harris and if Aqib Talib are both playing in this game, which I currently have no reason to expect them not to, even though it is a meaningless game on some level. We see teams play meaningless games all the time. The Browns have played 15 meaningless games so far. And now that, you know, the Titans will play meaningless games. So many contending middle-of-the-road teams will play quote-unquote meaningless games on Sunday, and I don't expect to see many of them out there quitting. I don't expect that from the Broncos either. These guys want to play. They're out here. They practice and they train throughout the offseason, and they put in so much work to take the idea of them going out there and having their last home game up against the current 2 seed in the AFC, the division rival, the hated Oakland Raiders, who are all of a sudden better than you. I have a really hard time seeing the Broncos rolling over for this game. Although they do want to get some more looks at Paxton Lynch, that makes sense. But as long as the defense is playing at its maximum capacity with all the guys that are healthy, especially being those two corners, I'm even okay with the matchup of Aqib Talib versus Amari Cooper. The reason the Chiefs embarrassed the Broncos so badly last week was because they were running the offense through Travis Kelce. The actual wide receivers on Sunday night were a non-factor. Tyreek Hill, I think, led the receivers in targets, but he didn't catch a single pass. 5 targets, no receptions for Tyreek Hill. Jeremy Maclin was barely a factor. Albert Wilson was a non-factor. Chris Conley, I think, caught 1 pass. The wide receivers were not a part of the game plan, and I don't think the Raiders are going to be in any way capable of beating the Broncos with the tight ends like the Chiefs did. And to some extent, I would think, like the Patriots may have. Let's check the box score for the Patriots game, because obviously there's no Rob Gronkowski in New England for the rest of this season. So I'm curious where Martellus Bennett ended up on this. And also, Julian Edelman is a different type of receiver, so that makes sense. In a game where the Patriots only scored 16 points, it was 12 targets and 6 catches for Julian Edelman for 75 yards, second on the list for receiving yards, 4 targets and 2 receptions by Martellus Bennett for 35. This is a game where Tom Brady threw for 188 yards and was sacked twice for 11 yards. That's 177 net gain for the passing game of the New England Patriots. That's insane. And they only ran it for 136 yards. Like, this was a really ugly, ugly offensive football game. But the Patriots did enough. And I think that the Raiders are not going to be able to string together enough tight end and enough slot production to be able to beat the Broncos that way. If they had Derek Carr, I would feel very differently, obviously, because he can make plays on his own. What the Raiders need now is for their outside playmakers to be making the plays. Matt McGloin, this isn't even moving like to Alex Smith. This isn't even putting Alex Smith on the Raiders. This is putting Matt McGloin on the Raiders, a guy who showed a couple of sparks whenever he was getting starting time before the Raiders drafted Derek Carr. But he's not going to do anything impressive against the Broncos defense. I feel very confident in that. My entire concern is, how does the Denver offense score here? Because if it's Trevor Siemian or if it's Paxton Lynch, the Broncos cannot run the football at all. I mean, and that's been well shown in the Chiefs games, and if you've been watching the Broncos this whole season, as injuries have really taken them over, they've become a completely anemic ground game team. Through the air, we're talking about having they have two incredible weapons, and maybe this is something that we could compare to what could happen to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. I think I would take the Broncos duo of receivers, being Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I would take those two guys right now over Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, but they have been silenced this year. Demaryius Thomas is just over 1,000 yards for the season because they've got Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. And those two guys are, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are such dangerous weapons on the outside. I think the Broncos actually do win this game because I think the defense will hold up just fine against Matt McGloin, even though Latavius Murray is going to have a few chances to make something happen on the ground. And most importantly, Amari Cooper can make things happen on his own, but he's got to get the ball in his hands. And I'm not sure Matt McGloin is capable of doing that. On the other side, the Raiders defense has been relatively horrendous this year. I think we're going to see those corners and that secondary continue to get beaten up. In this case, I think Siemian is going to have a much easier time getting the ball to Thomas and to Sanders than he had against the Chiefs, certainly. and really against any team in recent memory. Because the Broncos, I'm sorry, the Raiders just gave up 25 points to the Colts. They won that game. And it was a lot of it was late points, and there was sort of the concern of what's going on with Derek Carr. The Raiders almost ended up dropping that game as the defense could not hold up. Matt McGloin made the one play to ice the game. If that game was another quarter longer, they probably lose that game to the Colts, even after being spotted a bunch of points when Derek Carr was still in the game. I think Matt McGloin's going to struggle big time against the Broncos defense. I think the Broncos offense is going to do enough and exploit the Raiders' weaknesses. And I think the Broncos win this game. So if you do the math now on what I said about 10 or 15 minutes ago and what I said about 10 or 15 seconds ago, I guess I think the Chiefs end up getting the 2 seed here, which is kind of unbelievable because I'm looking at the Raiders' schedule and I'm sort of just blown away again by the fact that they lost to the Falcons in week 2 and then haven't lost again to a team other than the Chiefs. Them losing Derek Carr is just, I'm not sad for the Raiders. I'm glad that the Raiders are not going to be an actual factor in the playoffs. At least that's how it looks currently. I'm glad that's not going to happen. But losing your quarterback in Week 16 is brutal. It's brutal. And this, the Raiders, I think, really had a chance because they can make big plays. They're that kind of explosive team, and explosive teams are dangerous. And that's one thing where that was reinstalled in the Chiefs that made me very optimistic it made me more optimistic about what the Chiefs can do. They have explosiveness with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That adds such a different, important dynamic to your offense. And I think that's one reason that people are over Alex Smith, because he doesn't bring that on his own. For the Raiders, Derek Carr brought that on his own and then also got it to dynamic playmakers, especially like Amari Cooper. So that loss is just unfathomable. But now I'm in kind of a strange place here where, like, if you said, hey, would you bet $10 on the Chiefs getting the 2 seed right now? I would say probably not, just because two different things could go wrong. And I have my concerns about the Raiders game, and I think the Chiefs are going to handle the Chargers, but it's still an NFL game against a team that I don't think is rolling over. I just think they're not as good as the Chiefs are. And Andy Reid, I trust enough, I think, to be able to put together a game plan to deal with the Chargers. But I do think the Chargers lose to the Chiefs, and I think the Raiders lose to the Broncos, and those two things happening make the Chiefs the 2 seed. So I guess maybe I would parlay those two things if I got good odds for both of them. And maybe I'm just afraid to be optimistic, because I didn't even know exactly where I stood. I knew where I stood on the Chiefs game coming into doing this show, but I sort of just sat down and hit record today and opened up the game pages on ESPN for the Chiefs and the Broncos games. And I think I've talked myself into the Broncos just in these last 15 minutes or so. I really think that their strengths are going to smother the Raiders. They're going to smother the Raiders' now weaknesses, perhaps. And the Broncos' weaknesses are going to overcome the Raiders' weaknesses and be the stronger weaknesses, if you will. And man, I'm so hopeful, but I'm afraid to really believe it, I guess, because not getting the 2 seed is going to set the Chiefs up for failure. Not guaranteed failure. Not getting the 2 seed doesn't mean the Chiefs can't win a couple playoff games, but not getting the 2 seed at this point would set up such a more difficult road, and it probably looks like it did last year. And if, in fact, the Chiefs were to say, like, let's just play this out. Say the Chiefs go to Houston and win. Then they go to New England and win. Well, we assume the Raiders get upset probably by the Steelers. So then the Chiefs are going to Pittsburgh. You got to win in Houston, in New England, and in Pittsburgh instead of just winning at home and in New England. Or if you could somehow get the Patriots and the Steelers to match up, maybe you get a chance to just face someone at home and the Steelers at home. I don't know what that would take. I don't even know if that's mathematically possible, so don't quote me on that one. But we're talking about being set up for success and being set up for failure for the Chiefs here. the 2 seed sets you up for success. A wild card spot sets you up for failure. Some teams have beaten it, but what I just talked about with the playmakers and everything, you need that kind of explosiveness to be able to go on the road and win a road playoff game that you're not supposed to win. You need to be able to just flip a table, and all of a sudden, you're just throwing bombs to your playmaker, and your quarterback is on fire, and so is Amari Cooper. Well, if you have that, or your pass rushers are just wrecking the quarterback, if you have that, then you can do anything. The Chiefs have that on the defensive side of the ball. If Dee Ford and Justin Houston would ever both be on the same day, then that could happen. And that's the kind of thing it's going to take whenever the Chiefs have to go to New England. And I think eventually the Chiefs do end up in New England. I think it's either after beating the Texans or after beating someone at home and going to the AFC Championship game. The difference is facing the Patriots on the way to getting to go to the AFC Championship game or facing them in the actual AFC Championship game. Because if they're facing a team at home in that second week, it's either the Texans or the Dolphins or the Raiders or the Steelers. Then you go to New England, and it's, I know I'm beating a dead horse. I know this has got to be terrible to listen to. I just can't stop beating my head against the wall here. Just praying for a 2 seed for this team, because I want to see what they could do with a bye week. Even if it's Pittsburgh coming home. Man, how much fun would that game be? To go to the AFC Championship game, the Steelers come to Arrowhead. The Chiefs are going off of a bye. Andy Reid and the coaching staff have been crushing game film for 2 weeks. They knew the Steelers weren't going to lose to the Texans or whatever. Ugh. I guess, or to the Raiders, probably. It'd probably be Raiders at Steelers, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I want to see that so badly. I have no interest in seeing the Chiefs have to go at Houston, at New England, at Pittsburgh. Or in all likelihood, at Houston, at New England, at your couch. That's going to do it for this episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. I'll be back next week, sometime after these next games, hopefully Monday, after the Chiefs game and the Broncos-Raiders game, to break down what happened on Sunday and the outlook for the playoffs. In some ways, it feels like this has been a very long season. Remembering back to the Chiefs opener against the Chargers feels like a lifetime ago, but also it feels like these 17 weeks have gone very, very quickly. So it'll be weird to actually wrap up the regular season, but this is, I guess, in some ways, the last show of the regular season of 2016. It's also, I guess, the last show of 2016. So I'm Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. You know all that already. And I will be back in 2017 to look at where exactly the Chiefs stand on their way to the playoffs. Fingers crossed, go Chiefs. And for the first time on this show, go Broncos.
Excuse me, sir.
Talk to you next
year.
Bye, Mom.
Base?